Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a betting perspective. With pro sports handicappers, Ian Cameron, Alex P. Smith, and various guests from the world of hockey and sports betting. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by Boston Hemp, Inc., Thursday, April 11th. Ian Cameron, Alex B. Smith, and Matt Robinson ready to break down a Thursday NHL card. This is the second to last Thursday of the regular season. Of course, the regular season wraps up 1 week from today, and we have a 10-game NHL slate to go through today. First and foremost, great show yesterday. Crazy show in the fact that we couldn't even stream the show live to YouTube right away because of a YouTube StreamYard outage of sorts. So for the majority of the show, you could only watch it on Twitter and Facebook, but eventually we got it to YouTube and we uploaded the full show to YouTube after the fact. So if you were one of those people that you were waiting for the show to start on YouTube and you didn't get to Twitter or Facebook to watch it as it was being broadcast live, you can now go back and watch the whole episode with Brendan Perlini, who was a great guest yesterday on the show, and we wish him well with his content endeavors that he's starting after the season. And it was a fun show, so make sure you check that out if you missed it. Good stuff there, for sure. Big card today. Looking forward to this. Briefly on last night, because we only had the three games on the docket. What a start to that game from the Chicago Blackhawks. Whoa, woof. With that start, 4 goals on 4 shots for the St. Louis Blues. But we both love over Bifecta in that game, Alex and I, with the Blackhawks and Blues. It's funny, Alex had the first period over as his show best bet. I had the full game over as my show best bet. So we both end up sweeping there with Chicago, St. Louis, a 5-2 victory for the St. Louis Blues. And St. Louis is actually, believe it or not, not mathematically eliminated yet from the playoffs. And the reason for that is because Vegas couldn't get the job done. Against the Edmonton Oilers. No McDavid, no problem. That's one of the wins of the season for the Edmonton Oilers last night. That was no fluke. That was dominance. That was control in the game. That was playing with an edge, playing with purpose. And another thing I failed to mention, too, is why I was kind of like an Edmonton there with not only Vegas's struggles, not sure what Aiden Hill would do in his first game back from injury, and he was not good. The struggles continue for Aiden Hill, and it's worrisome if you're Vegas. But to me, it was also, okay, this team knocked you out in the playoffs last year. And don't forget, Vegas also ended the record win streak of the Edmonton Oilers, you know, a month ago. Remember they had that franchise record win streak? It was Vegas that snapped it. So they kept the receipts last night, the Edmonton Oilers. That was a very impressive win from them, 5-1 over the Vegas Golden Knights. And the Oilers get the job done without Connor McDavid in the lineup. So I ended up taking Edmonton at a very cheap price because of everyone obviously bet in Vegas because of the McDavid absence, but no problem for Edmonton. They got the job done with the victory there, and they keep putting pressure on the next team we're going to talk about, the Vancouver Canucks, who had to survive quite a game effort from the Arizona Coyotes last night, down in the third period, 3-1 at one point, but they tie it up. Connor Garland gets the second goal. They tie it in the third with an Elias Pettersson power play goal. And then Arizona, unfortunately, though, gets the extra point and gets the 4-3 win against the Vancouver Canucks last night. But for the Canucks to rally back and get a point was very, very important. It's a valuable point. They would have liked 2 points, but give Arizona credit. All the scuttlebutt, you know, around the team relocating to Utah and wondering if that was going to impact their performance on the ice. Feel bad for my guy, Eddie Lack. I'll say it. You may not want me saying this, but he apparently had some big bets on Vancouver last night, thinking that that whole Utah mess was going to play in the minds of the Coyotes players last night. So unfortunately, that did not work out well, and Arizona finds a way to get the victory there, 4-3 in overtime over the Vancouver Canucks in that game. Like I said, all the credit in the world to Arizona and those players. I mean, this has not been an easy 24 to 48 hours. The one thing about playing in Arizona is the lifestyle and the weather and everything that goes with it. Now, all of a sudden, the last 48 hours, you're basically thrown upside down with the news that you're not maybe relocating to Utah, but likely relocating to Utah. And yet Arizona finds a way to win and finds a way to win after getting absolutely trampled by Seattle. It was a terrible game the night before. And to bounce back and beat Vancouver in overtime, hell of a job and a show of resilience by the Coyotes. Alex, your thoughts on what we saw Wednesday night?
Yeah, I mean, we can start with that game. You know, if you get a notice saying you're going to be leaving the Phoenix metro area for possibly Salt Lake City, Utah, that could definitely make you feel some kind of a way. But they were able to kind of, like I said, weather the storm, beat a good Canucks team, a Canucks team that's just still struggling, going through the motions right now. They need full Thatcher Demko back in time for game one, round one. Otherwise, this is going to be a serious problem. As people say in the chat, yeah, this could be a one and done spot. This team is only going to go as far as Demko takes them. And I know the offense has been great. They've been it's been a solid season for them. Great turnaround, Tockett. More than likely a Jack Adams winner. But they got to get things rolling, and it's got to start in the back end between the pipes. Casey Smith's not going to be the answer moving forward. Seelovs will not be the answer in a playoff series. They need Demko back and full and rested and ready if they want to make a run there. So that's their biggest issue. Vegas, like you said, still not necessarily settled into the playoffs yet. There's an outside chance that if they keep screwing up and St. Louis wins, how crazy would that be? Last day of the season, we could possibly see the defending cup champion just completely out of it. When they at one point, they were sitting around in first and second, trading back and forth with Vancouver about 3 months ago. So it would be an epic collapse if they miss, and it would be a huge boost if St. Louis finds a way to win. I mean, took care of business against the Hawks team that just wasn't ready. Peter Mrazek, clearly not ready. Three shots faced, three goals. Arvid Soderblom, first shot faced, first goal. So the Hawks, probably don't want to bet on anything Hawks related the next three or four games for them as they wrap up the season.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, I have come up with a little sing-along. Now, we always, do a little song. We do Jake Neighbors, of course, Won't You Be My Neighbors. We can go on and on. Hungry Knives for Matthew Knives. I've come up with one for Artur's Shelovs, actually, the Latvian netminder for Vancouver. Only Canadians are probably going to know this one, though. The band 5440, one of their big hits was called Sheila. Don't Shelovs, don't Shelovs happy. Well, no one's happy right now with the Vancouver Canucks and their performance last night. Certainly their fans aren't. A valuable point lost, obviously, in overtime against Arizona last night. Matt, what was the betting night like for you? What was the hockey night like for you last night on that Wednesday slate?
Yeah, so overall betting was pretty solid for me. I had the over in all three games, including the over in the Vancouver-Edmonton game at 5.5. So obviously, all three of those hit. I did have the bifecta on Blackhawks Blues, and I had the bifecta on Golden Knights Oilers. So that was a miss. But overall, 4-1 on totals bets. Can't complain with that. Starting with that Blackhawks Blues game, where was that Mrazek when Dallas played Saturday in Chicago? He was lights out. I mean,
no shit.
I would have loved to see that Mrazek, but it is what it is. He's going to have up and down games. He's got to earn his contract as well. So, but yeah, that was obviously not a great start for him. But the first period over was a breeze. So that's good to see. It's good to see St. Louis still in the mix and the Knights kind of not playing great, because it just makes it more exciting. If it does come down to one of the last couple nights of the NHL season, does somebody get in that's kind of on the outside looking in? So we'll see. I did catch the Oilers Knights game, majority of it. The big bummer about, I've mentioned it before, I'm obviously not a huge Knights fan by any stretch. Quite the opposite, actually. But to add salt to the wound, when they're on TNT, I get all excited for the Wednesday TNT game. It's blacked out here because I'm in Nevada. So I've got to watch it on the local channel, which is like, Golden Knights Network. And so that was a huge bummer. Was bummed about that, so I was happy to see them get beat. Good game overall for Edmonton. I feel like they just kind of rolled with them. You saw some guys chip in. I know Hyman had a goal, at least one. Yeah, he had a goal. It was a good game overall. And then didn't catch the front half of that Coyotes-Canucks game, but tuned in the third. And bummer to see the Coyotes kind of collapse a little bit and take it to overtime. But what an exciting overtime. You get a penalty shot that no goal, and then the Coyotes go down and score. So, yeah, I mean, I saw it all over Twitter. IceX was, very blunt about it. But I'm in the same boat. I think even with Demko, I don't know if I see Vancouver getting out of the first round, even if they're the top seed in the Pacific. Without Demko, I almost wonder if it'll be a sweep, whether they end up playing, you know, Nashville, Vegas, LA, whoever ends up in the spot that will play the Canucks. I don't know. They look all out of sorts. I mean, it was good that they battled back and got the point, but
you're saying they might get swept. Wow, that's really not giving them much of a prayer. Holy
against
God.
LA?
Wow.
LA, the team I think gets swept at this, especially if they play Edmonton. That's interesting too.
LA is, I mean, it as a Dallas fan, LA would be the ideal matchup. I'd rather play LA than a Nashville or a Vegas.
Yes.
So maybe that was a bit of a stretch, but I just, you know, I think without Demko, I don't know.
Yeah.
In the playoffs, LA is the one exception, but any other team in the West, even like a St. Louis, like, I don't know. They look out of sorts to lose in overtime at home against the Coyotes team that found out that they were potentially moving to Salt Lake City literally day of game or day before game. That's, you know, kind of inexcusable, but I mean, it's a long season. It's one game. So I just don't think they look like they're in good form heading into the playoffs. But yeah, overall, solid Wednesday night. We've got a pretty big card tonight with 10 games. So looking forward to that. And yeah.
Don Manolo in our chat here, live in Greece, apparently. Wow. Kalispera? Yeah, there we go. Good evening. There we go. Kalispera. There you go. That's good evening in Greece, in Greek, I should say. Book closes at 10 p.m. There. So you want me to throw you a pick? It's what it sounds like right now, right before the sports book closes. There, really enjoy your show. Thanks. How about this first game we're going to talk about? Because I'll give it right away now on the show since you asked for a pick. This first game is my best bet. I'll just give it – first time ever I'm doing this. My best bet for the show is coming right now. Flyers-Rangers over 6, minus 120. There you go. Best bet for the show right there. Let's talk about it. So there you go, Don. I like it quite a bit. Let's jump right into it. Flyers and Rangers. We've got the New York Rangers, minus 200, minus 205 home favorites, 6 the total in this game. The Flyers have lost the plot defensively. We know that coming into this game. I mean, it's just been a disaster. And these are the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Montreal Canadiens lighting their ass up right now the last couple games. 6 spot allowed to Columbus, 9 goals allowed in that debacle to the Montreal Canadiens. And John Tortorella and the Flyers are stuck. Travis Sanheim's game has collapsed, and it's because he's playing a shit ton of minutes and these are hard, stressful games late in the season, and you go down throughout that entire blue line. They are a collective mess right now. Every mistake is ending up in the back of their net. The penalty kill has struggled mightily in this one. So I think when you look at this situation right here with Philly and the New York – with Philly tonight, I mean, this defensive group has just been awful in the last few games against much lighter – offensive teams than the New York Rangers bring to the table. So it's not what you want to see. He's going back to Samuel Erison. What the fuck choice does he have? His choice is Erison, who at least has the experience edge, because Ivan Fedotov's done nothing to wrestle spots to start away from Samuel Erison, because he hasn't been that great since he's been put in there. He had a nice period against the Islanders in his very first appearance in the NHL. And since then, he hasn't been able to stop the puck very well and consistently either and bail out the defense. And we know Erison's hit a wall. So I just don't know how they shut down the Rangers tonight. We know the Rangers are a potent team, and the Rangers are coming off a loss to the New York Islanders. I know there's some thought out there that this is a sandwich spot. They play the Flyers in between losing to the Islanders and playing the Islanders again on Saturday afternoon on ABC at Madison Square Garden. But I don't know if this is a flat spot for the Rangers. Rangers have been damn good all season off a loss. You know, I think they're going to end up playing well here tonight, scoring goals. That being said, I do think Philadelphia offensively is at least capable. They did score 3 against Montreal. They can score some goals. They've shown that ability. And they get a break tonight in that Jonathan Quick and Igor Shesterkin is not in net for the Rangers. It'll be Jonathan Quick for the Rangers instead tonight. So this was a very obvious and very straightforward thought for me to go over 6 here in this game, minus 120, and just the full game. No first periods, because we have seen the Flyers at times be a little bit of a slow starter in the first period. Even that 9-3 game with Montreal, you know what the score was after the first period? 1-0. So it would have been a first period under that night. So I'm just going to the full game. We know the Rangers. We've talked about it now for game after game after game on this show. Now 11-1 to the over in their last 12 games coming into this game tonight. So 11 overs in their last 12 games. Last time we saw the Flyers and Rangers, and it was in this building just a couple weeks ago, that game was nuts. I think it was on our BetCast at the end of March, and it was like 7-6 or something. It was a crazy-ass game. Back and forth, it went goals galore, especially in the third period of that. No, 6-5 Rangers in overtime, and that third period had, what, 7 goals in it. So it was just an explosion in the third period of that game. So, yeah, for me, nothing on the side. I do think the Rangers win, but against even a bad team, that's desperate. I'm not comfortable laying minus 200 or not a bad team. They're just bad now. They haven't been bad the full season, obviously, but they're very bad right now. The Philadelphia Flyers. I still don't want to lay minus 200 against them because this is essentially, if it's not already over for them, they lose tonight, they might as well be over. So don't want to lay the buck to the 200 price with the Rangers. So just over 6 for me here. Minus 120. Alex, what do you think? Flyers, Rangers.
Yeah. To quote the late Dennis Green, the Flyers are who we thought they were. You know, they finally came, the Crows came home to roost. They had a fantastic run out of the gate, and they were able to sustain that as long as they possibly could. Kudos to John Tortorella for getting as much as he could out of that team. But the situation, obviously, with no Carter Hart hurt them. You know, having the issues with Couturier being benched, that didn't sit well with a lot of guys, it seemed like. And that just kind of just took the air out of that room. And now here they are just kind of folding at the seams. So when you look at those last two games, we're talking about a better Flyers team, Rangers team, of course, that was you know, much better still than the Flyers, but, you know, playing for something here. Now we're talking about a Flyer team that's well out of it, Rangers team that's already set a franchise record for most wins of the season, you know, get another couple points, try to possibly get that President's Trophy. I like the Rangers here first period puck line. I laid the half a goal plus 135. I got the over 1.5 at -$1.30, along with the full game 6. So I think we see the Rangers dominate early in this one and kind of coast throughout. And I think that's what's going to help with that full game over. The Flyers may only need to score 1 or 2 because I think the Rangers will take care of business and get about 4 or 5 of their own here. So Rangers first period puck line, first period over, and full game over.
You know, I think the Rangers' motivation is just, you know, you got to be fucking Dr. Fraser Crane. Let's be real. You know, at this stage of the season, you got to try to get in the heads of these players, and it's not easy to do that. But you would think for the Rangers, and I know it's a sandwich, right? It's a huge rivalry they have with the Islanders. That was such an intense game the other night. Got chippy at the end. Trocheck was just screaming at the ref for a penalty that wasn't called late. Laviolette wasn't happy with a couple of things that happened during that game as far as the physicality. But, and they play the Islanders again on Saturday. Definitely, I know they're looking forward to that game. But I think they've got to have eyes on the prize here against the Flyers. They're off a loss. They've been very good off a loss all season long. And they're only 3 points up now on Carolina, thanks to Carolina's win against Boston the other night. So there's still a division that they have to clinch and finish off here, clinching this division. That job isn't done yet for the New York Rangers. So I think they're going to have a good game and a great effort here. Again, we'll see, but I don't think they should be taking the Flyers lightly. Doesn't mean they won't take them lightly, but I don't think they should. And I think off a loss, pretty much all season, the Rangers have been pretty good in that type of situation. What do you think here, Matt? Philly, New York?
Yeah, I don't really see New York taking their foot off the gas. I do think Philly, you know, comes out with maybe some effort after that embarrassing game on Tuesday. I just don't think they have a lot left in the tank. And goaltending is obviously a huge issue. So I'm going to be on the over bifecta with the first period in the game. And then I'm also going to take the Rangers team total over 3.5 at minus 120. I think, you know, if the over is going to hit, the Rangers are going to have at least 4 goals. So I think that's kind of a no-brainer if you feel really good about the game over, and obviously you threw out your best bet early, so I'm definitely riding that, and so that makes me even more confident in the Rangers team total over 3.5.
There you go, and thanks you to Dustin and Jamie H. There we go, great live betcast the other night. I'm going to join Patreon so I can join the next one. That's right, Tuesday, April 16, next Tuesday, it's a Patreon-exclusive betcast that night, so you must be a Patreon member to tune in and join us for that one. So there you go, Dustin and Jamie H., we appreciate that. Very much. Thank you for the kind words. As far as props go, you know, it's dicey to take Flyers props. You don't necessarily know how much they're going to be scoring tonight. But I think with Quick and Net, they can at least contribute a little bit. And if I'm going to look at anyone, I would for props, it would be Forster, and it would be maybe Owen Tippett. And Frost is up on the power play one tonight, so maybe he gets going. And then for the Rangers, Panarin, Trocheck, Lafreniere's got to be someone you look at for props right now. He's been absolutely terrific lately for the New York Rangers for sure. So those are good prop options on their side. All right, Ottawa, Tampa Bay. Next up, we've got the Lightning -170 home favorites, 6.5 the total here in this game. The Lightning are in one of these spots. If you look at the standings right now, you know, they're in one of those can we really advance and can we really drop down zones? And that the answer right there is they probably can't move up and they probably can't move down too much either. They've got 95 points. They're 6 behind Toronto for third in the Metropolitan Division. Nobody's catching them as far as the first wild card is concerned. They look like they're locked into the first wild card, Tampa Bay. So I'm not rushing to lay a $170, and especially much less so with Matt Tompkins in net. And he has been confirmed as the starting goalie here for the Tampa Bay Lightning here in this game. I'm going to sprinkle on Ottawa money line and team total split small. I mean, I worry about this for Tampa. And plus, Anthony Duclair's not playing. And John Cooper used the term, you know, he could play if it was a playoff game, but we're going to let him, you know, have a maintenance night and let him heal up and be ready for the playoffs. And once I heard that, I'm like, how stoked are the Lightning to be winning these games here down the stretch? I mean, when you really think about it, they played a shit ton of hockey the last few years. I know last year they got knocked out in the first round, so they got a little more time than they're accustomed to replenish themselves and basically catch their breath following the season and get ready for the next year. But, you know, this is not motivation-wise a team where I say, yeah, this time of year, 6 points behind Toronto, you're probably not catching them, and there's no one that can catch you from behind. This is not the time of year where I'm saying, yeah, let's lay -170 with Tampa Bay in any game, especially with their backup goalie playing, which is always a drop-off, obviously, from the great Andre Vasilevsky. So I think Ottawa's got a shot in this game. You know, the effort wasn't that bad for them against Florida the other night. Remember, they beat Washington on Sunday in overtime. So we know the Senators, any given night, can pop up with a great game, and it can be enough to pull an upset. And with Tampa Bay playing Tompkins, and with Tampa Bay resting Duclair, and with Tampa Bay not being able to advance or drop down, this is basically play out the string type of the part of the season for them, in my opinion. So I'm going to sprinkle a little Ottawa +150, little team total, over 2.5, -140. And I'm also going to go over bifecta here. Because Tampa Bay long-term over first period has been just tremendous for them. I've lost track of the exact, something like, you know, 21-5. It's something like that. It's, or 19-5, 20-5, something like that. It's very, very strong, the long-term first period over numbers for Tampa Bay. And I'm also going to go over 6.5 as well here in this game. So it's basically Sens money line and team total split plus over bifecta for me in this game tonight. Alex, what do you think here? Sens Lightning.
Yeah, the run is 19-5 to the first period over the last 24 to Tampa Bay Lightning. And that's the only play I have. I grabbed a little bit of that in pocket now at -$1.45. That was earlier today. Now it's $1.50, $1.55 everywhere. Even FanDuel has $1.50. So this is one you want to wait and grab about 2 to 3 minutes into the contest. Don't wait for plus money. You're waiting to grab just $1.20, $1.25. So that's the way I'm playing that. Also, like both teams to score at +150. Like I said, Matt Tompkins. A goaltender we don't trust. Ottawa could come out with something to play for at least a little bit early. If they're going to have any energy, I trust them early. I don't trust them to give you a full 60-minute effort at this point. But it seems like it to be a little dicey. So I'm not on the full game over 6.5. Certainly not looking at Ottawa plus money or anything like that. I'm just saying with first period looks, first period over and both teams.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I like I said, over bifecta and a little Ottawa money line team total over sprinkle. Now, they may not be as locked in to win this game, Tampa Bay, because of where they are in the standings. Like I said, it's hard. They can't probably advance and catch Toronto for third in the Atlantic, but they're definitely not dropping down to the second wild card. But that doesn't mean they're focused. That's why I like the overs tonight. That doesn't mean they're not focused on things offensively. And the focus is get Kucherov the puck and let him work his magic because he's trying to win a Hart Trophy. So whether it's over 1.5 points, you can ladder it maybe, consider over 2.5 points with Kucherov. I'd just take a shot with over 2.5 points because you got to lay a price now on over 1.5 points with Kucherov. You might as well just take a shot at the plus money for over 2.5 points for Nikita Kucherov, because this team will do everything humanly possible to get him his points as much as possible to try to win this very tight Hart Trophy race that's ongoing with him and Nate MacKinnon and Connor McDavid. I honestly think McKinnon's going to win it, but you know, don't tell that to Nikita Kucherov. He's still going to think, hey, I'm in this race, I'm in this fight, so I've got to keep on piling up the points here offensively down the stretch. So the over 2.5 points for Cooch still interests me. And how do you not with the way he's playing right now? Sorelli's a good look, but especially Alan, Steven Stamkos. I mean, he is just, he is a hotter than a fire pistol right now for this team. Just he's been absolutely tremendous. Nick Paul always scores against his old team, the Ottawa Senators. So Cuban Wayne Gretzky, I'm with you on Nick Paul. Nick Paul, Stamkos, Kucherov, over points, 2.5 points, Sorelli a little shot. And Nick in the chat said, yes, Matthew Joseph for Ottawa. He used to be with the Tampa Bay Lightning, another former player angle. He's been scored 4 goals in 5 games against his old team. And he's I could see that coming through again tonight, Matthew Joseph for the Ottawa side of things to be able to find the back of the net tonight. Good prop game.
I was going to say, yeah, this is one spot, too. We talked about that last goal prop. With guys like Kucherov, I'm seeing plus 850 at FanDuel for him to be the last goal scorer of the game. So that's something to keep in mind.
Yeah, definitely. All right, what do you think here in this one, Matt? Ottawa-Tampa Bay.
Yeah, these are always the toughest games for me to bet. When you've got a playoff team that's kind of locked into a position and then a team that's super out of it, there's not really a ton of motivation either way, which does make me lean over. Typically, those games are offensively good, you know, teams still want to score on the power play. For Tampa, you've got enough guy, you've got Kucherov that's, you know, still in the hunt. I agree with you that I think it's going to end up being MacKinnon unless Kucherov has, you know, 6 points in each game of the next 3 games or something wild, but they are going to try and keep him in the mix. So I also kind of lean Tampa team total over 3.5, but yeah, I think for me, I may jump on that first period over. Alex, you mentioned kind of the streak that's going with that, but that'll really be it because I just don't – I mean, Ottawa could win this game, you know, 4-1, and I wouldn't be that shocked. Or Tampa could win, you know, 6-2, and I also wouldn't be that shocked. So it's just a tough spot when you've got a team that really doesn't have anything to play for on both sides. And one team's going to the playoffs, so they're trying to – you know, stay healthy, maybe lower the minutes of some guys, things like that. So, but the fact that Vasilevskiy is not playing, I do lean over by Fekta here. So I don't think that's a bad play at all.
You know what's now, great? Guys, go ahead.
Yep. No, I was gonna say, I have a question to pose you guys, and it's something I was talking about doing radio earlier and looking at the Hart race with MacKinnon and Kucherov. Kucherov plus 450 at BetMGM earlier this morning. If you think he's going to have a big game tonight, so let's say you're taking him over 2.5 points, you think he's going to get 2 goals on it, would it make sense to sprinkle? Because that price would probably get cut in half if he has a 4-point, 5-point kind of a game tonight. Would it make sense to maybe sprinkle something on him to win the Hart Trophy or him to win Art Ross Trophy as well if you're looking at props that are Kucherov specific?
Yeah, that's not a bad strategy to take. I think he could have a hell of a finish to the season, and I think I'd still give it to Nathan MacKinnon. I just would. I think because Nathan MacKinnon's been – and the thing that hurts Kucherov is so much of his damage has been on the power play. I find a lot of his point production's been power play stuff, and I don't want to diminish the importance of the power play and discredit someone for being able to produce at a high level on the power play, but when it's that much that you're doing – your damage with the man advantage, it can be a little bit difficult. Matt, did you have an answer to that question?
No, I mean, I know you mentioned the MVP race. What's he at for the Hart Trophy? Because obviously
plus 450. Odds.
Yeah.
Where MacKinnon, yeah. MacKinnon's minus 500.
Sorry. What does he have for the Art Ross? Because obviously he's got to be the favorite for that because he's in the lead points-wise currently.
Yeah, that right? I have to look up and see. I'll get back and have to circle back and look at that.
Yeah, because right. I think that obviously is a good look, but I just don't think the payout's really there.
Minus 750. Yeah, yeah. MacKinnon plus 450. So vice versa. If you think MacKinnon with the Hart Trophy, if you like that and you can't get in, I mean, obviously not going to lay minus 500 on that. you can maybe take a shot that he tries to make a run down the stretch and catches up the points.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it's worth a look because, again, I think, you know, I think everyone leans McKinnon right now, but if Cooch has, let's say, three, what do they have? How many games left? You know, 3 to 4 points in every game in the remainder and you know, wins the Art Ross by 10 points, then do you have to kind of consider maybe, you know, a Hart Trophy? But, yeah, it's a toss-up. I mean, I think from what I've seen, it's
they're all deserving in some way, shape, or form. They are. Yes. No.
Yeah. There was an article today that was
special. Yeah.
Yeah, there was an article today that was like, you know, if this is a normal year, Panarin's right there in the mix for the Hart Trophy, but there's just been too many good players that, you know, he's not even
Sidney Crosby. Sidney Crosby's numbers are like 175-1 still, which seems absurd with the fact that what he's done for that team, especially if they're able to find a way to make the playoffs. Like I said, I still think that might be worth a shot. He should be a finalist. And if you give me 175-1, and now I have that ticket as one of the final three, I can now do something with laying a big price on a Kucherov or McKinnon the other way and lock in some kind of profit. So that's just the kind of idea that was just spinning in my head. We were talking about that earlier today. So.
Yeah, definitely. It's good discussion because you're right. At the end of the season, you've got to look for these spots where there's incentives and there's certainly awards and trophies on the line and there's races. I mean, that can just amazing the incentive that can give to players.
I'll just say one more thing before we move on to the next game. Brock Faber still plus 1,200 available.
So. Yeah, Connor, if you want Connor Bedard to win the Calder Cup or Calder Trophy,
I think moved a bit.
Minus 2,500. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. So. He's really live in that race from the looks of things based on what the current odds are for the Calder Trophy. All right, Washington and Buffalo next up. Sabres minus 135 home favorite, 6 the total. You know, I think the last time I was Washington at Buffalo, I kind of leaned Washington and Buffalo beat him. I don't know if Buffalo's going to beat him again, though. Season's pretty much done for Buffalo. They lost to Detroit. That did it for them. That put them out. The Dallas effort was commendable. I thought the effort was not bad from them against Dallas the other night. They only lost 3-2. They were in the game, no question. But, you know, I think one of these situations here with the Capitals and the Sabres, I could only look at Washington. I'm not laying a price with Buffalo. But Capitals, let's be real. I know they beat Detroit, and people will say great win, great bounce back. No, the goalie bounced back. You know, they got outplayed. They got outshot significantly. And the chances are if they don't play better tonight, Buffalo could beat them. You know, on home ice, if Buffalo's got a any kind of spirited effort in them here tonight in this game, it is one of your final home games. Don't you want at least, you know, kind of send the home fans happy maybe? But for me, it's a lean to Washington. But there's a part of me that says if they're going to rely on Lindgren as much as they did against Detroit the other night, they got to play better. Simple. You cannot win that way night in and night out with your goalie standing on his head and you getting basically outchanced and outshot almost double. And expect to win hockey games consistently. They got the Lindgren had a magical of magical nights. That's not the way to win in the National Hockey League, night in and night out. So we'll see if Washington can step it up. Certainly they have everything to play for. Buffalo's out of it. That alone, never would I lay a price with a team out of it against a team that needs it. No way, but I don't know. Washington, they disappointed me when they played Buffalo last time. They did not play well. They're going to have to play better than Detroit. I think I might get there with something small on the Capitals, but I can't say I'm loving it. Can't say I'm loving it. What do you think here, Alex? Washington, Buffalo.
I think the books are trying to tell us something here with this line because this makes very little sense. Washington plus 115, like I said, Buffalo way out of it. Okay, home final home game. That's still not going to be enough to where I would warrant and see this thing even being kind of tilted in the favor of Buffalo. So I'm taking the draw here. Plus 350 at FanDuel is the best price I'm finding available. This may be one of those close kind of games. This thing, Washington's not putting anybody away in their race. You should have beat Detroit 5-0 the other night to really make a statement. You basically, that's a playoff game for you. Put them out of their misery. You should have really put the screws in. They just couldn't. They couldn't really get that going. And then you know we saw the goal last second. But Detroit was pressing in the last 3 minutes of that game. This is a game where I feel like Washington, if they are going to step up and show out, and get the job done, this should be in a big way. But I just don't trust them. They're not a good team. And they're a team that I think will struggle against whoever they face if they do find their way into the playoffs. So give me the draw plus 250. I think this one's low and slow. Washington maybe ekes out a 3-2 overtime or shootout kind of a victory.
I'm so leery of this. That's why I've got a tiny Capitals bet here, plus 115, but it's nothing significant. You know what I'm also going to take, and I just remembered it now. Sometimes it takes me a second to recollect things. This is, you know, we talk about with the Rangers and the Panthers, right? When they play each other head-to-head, it's just over Palooza. Check out the Washington-Buffalo series history. Same thing. Over Palooza. And I remember that's why I was on the over actually just 9 days ago or 10 – what was it? Yeah, 9 days ago in Buffalo, it was 6-2 Sabres. That ended up being the sixth straight head-to-head meeting that's gone over the total between these two teams. I can get at Bet99 in Ontario over 5.5 minus 115. I know it's six at most books, but I can get over 5.5 minus 115 at Bet99. I'm grabbing that for a series that's gone over in six straight head-to-head meetings. As much as Lindgren could absolutely stand on his head again and be tremendous, he had a huge, intense workload, stress. That was a stressful game for him. 40-plus shots. He had to make a ton of ridiculously dangerous chance type of saves. You know, it's not going to be easy for him to have to turn around now 48 hours later and play that well again. So I think we could see some goals here. And again, we've seen six straight head-to-head Capitals versus Sabres games go over the total. So over 5.5 minus 115 at Bet99. Now keep in mind there is over 5.5 minus 132 at FanDuel, over 5.5 minus 125 at Betway. So shop around. There are some 5.5s out there as far as this game goes. And one last thing too, I will say about it as far as Washington and Buffalo is concerned going into this matchup, it is the final home game for the Buffalo Sabres because they finished the season in Florida for two games against the Panthers and Lightning. So this is the final home game. You know, they'll do most home teams at the last home game, many of them at least, they'll do the tradition too, where the fans come on the ice and the players give their jerseys off the back to the fan. I think maybe they're doing that tonight. So maybe there probably is incentive for Buffalo to put up an effort here. Final home game of the year. That's even more so why this is not a given for the Washington Capitals tonight.
Do we get a moment of silence for a Buffalo Bills legend who just passed away this morning in O.J. Simpson?
I'm sure they will. I mean, I know he's kind of, you know, we know what the fuck happened with him with the whole murder situation and the trial in the 90s. I get it and all that. But because he played for the Buffalo Bills, I could see it. And even I acknowledged O.J. Simpson's death, by the way, today on Twitter. He had his issues. He's definitely not the most upstanding human being in the world. And I'm obviously that goes without saying, but nevertheless, did acknowledge it. Maybe Buffalo will do something to acknowledge it here. I'm just saying, sorry, I had to do that there. Yeah. I'm just saying. Yeah. What do you think here in this one, Matt, Washington, Buffalo?
Yeah, this is another one that I sort of consider passing. Given the track record, I think if I find it at over 5.5 or even wait until about 5 minutes into this one, I may jump on that as well. But yeah, I mean, I lean Washington just given that it matters, but it also is Buffalo's last home game. You know, I thought they played well on Tuesday in Dallas. It's a tough one for me. So I think I'm going to stay off the sides. I could see it being a slower start, so I may even just wait and try and find it live at like over five. Then on the off chance, it's like a 3-1 game. You get an empty net, you know, you push your bet, you don't lose. So, but yeah, I don't really love anything in this. I mean, you know, maybe an Ovechkin goal prop, might be worth a look. It seems like when they do score a couple goals, he's got at least one of them. So, yeah, that's probably it for me.
Remember, for Washington, even though must win doesn't equal will win, we've said that. And number two, they lost six in a row, and the win that snapped the losing streak against Detroit, 2-1, Lindgren had to be spectacular. And it's really the only reason they won, because what were the shots in that game? 43-23 for Detroit. So even in the win that snapped the losing streak, the Capitals didn't play well. Okay, the goalie did. The team did not. So that is and factor in that Buffalo, if they got a lick of pride and a lick of dignity, it's your final home game. Those fans deserve something good from you for another disappointing, gut-wrenching season that you put them through. at least give them a good home game here, give them a good final home game performance here tonight. So that's why, you know, it's not a given for the Washington Capitals here in this game tonight. All right, New Jersey and Toronto next up. We've got the it's a second of the home and home. They played in New Jersey Tuesday, and now they are in Toronto tonight. We've got the Leafs minus 200, home favorites, 6.5 the total in this game. Look, normally when we see these home-and-home situations, we see the one team won the first meeting. Sometimes I look at the other side in the second meeting, but not here. I think the writing's on the wall for New Jersey. To be honest, there's been very little improvement in this team since the coaching change, since Travis Green took over after Lindy Ruff got fired. We're seeing that they're sat down and Jack Hughes for the rest of the season. Let him heal up for and be ready for training camp. He's out for the rest of the season so he can go through the surgery. Curtis Lazar, Tomasz Nosek out of the lineup right now for them. And you saw what happened against Toronto. Yeah, they had a 2-1 lead, but as soon as Toronto tied it, anything that happens bad and negative to the Devils, they crumble. Okay, Toronto tied it 2-2 the other night, and they didn't look back. They ended up winning 5-2 in that game after being down 2-1, four unanswered goals. I think if you're Toronto, there's still a lot at stake here. I mean, you could still catch the Panthers. It's not impossible, and you do have to play Florida head-to-head next week. So that can still be done. You're trying to make sure that you're entrenched in, at the very least, second in the Atlantic, which you should be. But you could still move up and catch Florida. It's not going to be easy. You're going to need some help, including from a Columbus team tonight that's not very good. So that could be easier said than done. But I think the Leafs have got the right mentality. They don't look like they're wanting to rest people. They want to go on into the playoffs feeling good about themselves, playing good hockey. And I was shocked to see this, guys. Do you know that tied for the best record in the NHL since the All-Star break is the Toronto Maple Leafs? It's been really something. So they are playing well. We got to give them their credit. Now, they need to start manning up and playing well in April and in May and in June. Okay, it's time, you know, before I start. I don't want to go crazy over this late regular season surge that they're in right now, knowing that playoff utility has happened year after year for this group. But right now they're playing some really good hockey. I'm very impressed. The big guns are playing well. You've got your Matt Nyes and your Nick Robertson and your Bobby McMahons and your other forwards that have stepped up and played well. This blue line, which everybody thinks is not that deep, as a collective, they continue to play solid. Riley and Brody's gotten it back on track. TJ Brody, who was really struggling for a while, he's played some of his best hockey of the season the last week or two. And this collective blue, we know Benoit, McCabe, have been great for them. You know, as a collective, this blue lines, I think, outperformed a lot of people's expectations. And then, of course, you've got Samsonov in net, who's been absolutely brilliant as of late. And he'll be in net again tonight for the Leafs. Jake Allen will get the start for the second straight game against Toronto. Of course, Toronto had Wall Tuesday night against New Jersey. So now they'll go with Samsonov here in this game. I like most of all here Toronto team total over 3.5. That's the bet I cashed with Tuesday night in the Devils-Leafs game in New Jersey. I see no reason not to go back to that same bet here. Over 3.5 at a very reasonable minus 115, minus 120. Based on series history, Devils and Rangers, Devils and Leafs, here's another one. We've seen three straight meetings go over the total between these two teams. Both of the games this year went over, 6-3 Devils in Toronto a few weeks ago, and then, of course, 5-2 Leafs the other night in New Jersey. So I will sprinkle on over 6.5 as well, but a little bit more on the team total, which I prefer here. Toronto team total over 3.5, minus 120. Alex, Devils and Leafs.
Well, obviously the big storyline with the rest of these games involving the Leafs is Austin Matthews and his chase for 70. Yeah. I'm looking at him. I don't know if it's going to be my bargain bin play yet, but I will have him to score two goals.
Yeah,
but I also I like him to score a goal tied with the Toronto Maple Leafs to win at plus 146 at FanDuel. So that's the way I'm going to be betting this Leaf side, tying it in with Matthews to get one goal, but I also will have sprinkled on him scoring two goals as well. You can get that at plus 460. Those are the only two things I'm looking at here. Don't want anything to do with the totals. Don't want anything to have to rely on New Jersey for nothing right now. Just looking at Austin Matthews and the Leafs.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm actually sprinkling on – you know what I've got? I've got over 1.5 and over 2.5 points with him and over 1.5 goals in the hat trick prop. I bet all four of those tonight. Because, look, this is get him the puck and try to get him to 70 goals. That is definitely going to be on the minds of everyone here for this Leafs team. We'll do everything we can to help him out, Give him the puck. Give him these opportunities. And by the way, start thinking of Austin Matthews shots on goal problem. You know, I'm not a big shots on goal guy, but don't just bet the standard over. What is it? 4.5 is usually probably where his shots on goal prop is. Start thinking maybe over 5.5 shots on goal at a plus price, over 6.5 shots on goal at a plus price, over 7.5 shots on goal, because he's going to be firing that puck. He's going to be shooting more than fucking Wyatt Earp the rest of the season here for the Toronto Maple Leafs, trying to get this 70 goal mark and 70 goal plateau. So the shots on goal with Matthews, and not just the over 4.5, the standard set number. Go for the plus money. Go for the plus price with the 5.5, over 5.5, over 6.5, over 7.5 shots on goal, because he's going to be a shooting machine here down the stretch in the chase for 70.
And I did grab this, and it's funny, we talk about this whole last goal market. The books have adjusted with his number. I've seen plus 500 for Austin Matthews to get the last goal, but I will be adding that to the portfolio as well.
Yeah, these are strong player prop looks with Austin Matthews, because he wants 70. They want to get him 70, and he's going to be shooting the puck a lot. So whether it's shots on goal props, to score a goal, take a shot with the 2+ goals, take a shot with the hat trick, and you know he can snap for a hat trick at any given moment, any given night, any given game. Why not tonight against a lousy Devils defense? And again, a Devils defense that gave up 5 to this Leafs team the other night. And plus, I think Toronto knows that the last time they hosted Jersey beat them, and I think they're going to want some payback for that. Matt, what do you think here, New Jersey-Toronto?
Yeah, so I'm sticking with what I took Tuesday night in Toronto, team total over 3.5, as well as Toronto regulation money line. So I think they take care of business. I don't see this game going beyond 60 minutes. And then the two props, I know you guys have mentioned a ton about Matthews. I'll be on some goal props with Matthews. I really like that Matthews anytime goal and a Leafs win, since I feel confident the Leafs will win. You know, surely he'll score one, at least one tonight. But the other piece that I'm really looking at is he's playing on the line with Bertuzzi and Domi, and they're both assist prop is over plus 150. So I'm going to be on both of those guys to get an assist, because again, they're just going to be feeding the puck. It could be a 2-on-0 with a backdoor wide open. They're going to get it back to Matthews. So they know they want to get him to 70. I think both of those guys will get assists tonight, and you know, plus 150, plus 165, I think is what I saw from both. You know, yeah, Domi's plus 150, Bertuzzi's plus 170 to record at least one assist. I think that's a great look, just given that they're going to be trying to get Matthews the puck.
Yep, makes sense. And again, we're looking at the same top line in effect here: Bertuzzi, Matthews, Domi. For the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight, McMahon, Tavares, Marner, Robertson, Holmberg, Nylander. I'll throw out Matthew Nyes again. Matthew Nyes is on fire right now. And I should have been on Nick Robertson the other night, forgetting the fact that he drew back into the lineup. And when he draws back into the lineup, he always scores. It's insane. Every time he's a scratch and he's coming back for a game, he scores. He did it again Tuesday night against New Jersey. Now, that angle doesn't apply tonight. It applies when he is out of the lineup the previous game, and he's back in the lineup the next game. And it's been almost automatic that Nick Robertson has scored in those situations all season long. So the next time he's a scratch and he's back in the lineup, bet him to score a goal, because he probably will. All right, probably the game of the night as far as importance is concerned. There's no question. This is a playoff game here in the regular season, essentially. Detroit Red Wings, Pittsburgh Penguins. Pittsburgh minus 150, home favorites, 6 the total here in this game. I got to be honest here. I laid it with Pittsburgh. Now, I laid a little better price than this. It's up to minus 150 here in this game tonight. But I think the Penguins get it done. They've been good at home. They beat an excellent Tampa team, you know, the last time they were at home. And I worry about Detroit a little bit here tonight, as far as, you know, that loss against Washington. That is a hard one to come back from, because you know you were the better team. You know you should have gotten the 2 points, and you find a way to lose that game. I think that's tricky. You're going on the road now for this one, and now you're without Andrew Kopp too. And people might yawn and say, "Well, it's Andrew Kopp." Andrew Kopp means a lot. Faceoffs, he means a lot. Defensively, away from the puck, he means a lot. Offensively, obviously, there's other players for that. But the other side of the puck, defensively, and of course, faceoff prowess, you're going to miss Andrew Kopp. And you're going to miss. And anytime you miss a starting center, you're going to be hurt down the middle a little bit if you're Detroit. So without Andrew Kopp, we're now looking at Larkin, Compher, Valeno, and Austin Zarnik's got to draw into the lineup. So it hurts your center ice depth a little bit. For a pivotal game like this, that may hurt Detroit a little bit. Nedeljkovic in net here for the Penguins. You've got that. Not only is Nedeljkovic, you know, playing well, and he's deserved to keep running with the net, he's given Pittsburgh a chance to win every single night, but this is a former team of his, the Detroit Red Wings. He'd like to beat them. There's no question about that. So I like Pittsburgh here. I got minus 145. It's minus 150. It's a little north of that. If you want to be cut down the juice, you know, you could do Pittsburgh in regulation, Pittsburgh minus one, but I don't want to screw around with regulation here. I don't. I'm going to go, because what I did actually is Pittsburgh minus 145, and I sprinkled on the draw because I could easily see Pittsburgh winning an overtime or a shootout. I think Pittsburgh wins, but I think it's just as likely it could be overtime or a shootout as it is regulation. So that's my approach here. Pittsburgh minus 145 and a little piece of the draw here in this one as well. And this is probably the one game where I'd be leery of an over because Detroit, they tightened the screws against Washington. It was a very cagey game with so much on the line. Pittsburgh with Toronto the other night was lower scoring, stayed under. This is one where I wouldn't feel so good about betting an over. What do you think here, Alex? Detroit-Pittsburgh.
Not so fast on that draw. I like Pittsburgh here, and I got them in regulation. I laid $1.10 earlier. All right. I still like that all the way up to $1.20. I think the Wings are cooked. I think they're done, and Pittsburgh at home takes care of business early. And I definitely like the play early. I like the first period over. I laid $1.30 with that. We've seen 8-1 last nine meetings. Just looking back at just the last four, 3-0, 2-0, 1-1, 3-1, when these two teams played back on St. Patrick's Day. This is definitely a game where I think the Penguins jump out early and often against Detroit, and they should be able to get this done in 60.
Yeah, there's more money for me on Pittsburgh than the draw, obviously. So if Alex's premonition is correct here and his bet is correct here with Pittsburgh in regulation, I won't cry about it, that's for sure, because Pittsburgh wins the game, it'll be profit for me because obviously there's more on that for me than the draw in this game. As far as props go, look, Crosby goal, Crosby over 1.5 points. Raquel, Malkin have been heating up lately, and I'm going back to the well. That was so frustrating against Toronto. I had Pittsburgh, they lost the game, but I had Michael Bunting, bargain bin, plus 320 to score. He had like 8 chances against Toronto Monday night. He had a million chances to score. He was all around the net without actually scoring a goal and putting it in. He did everything but score, Michael Bunting against Toronto the other night. So Michael Bunting's got to be a prop consideration as well. For Detroit, Larkin and Kane. Larkin and Kane are the only guys I trust right now offensively, you know, consistently. You haven't gotten much from the depth forwards. Daniel Sprong's not doing as much. You're not getting as much punch from those guys. It's really been Larkin and Kane carrying whatever offense Detroit's had. So if I'm betting Red Wings props, probably starts with those two. What do you think here in this one, Matt? Detroit, Pittsburgh, huge game.
Yeah, this will be an exciting one to watch for sure. I lean Pittsburgh here. I think Detroit's kind of running out of gas. You know, Pittsburgh's, I'm shocked that they're in the mix and that I think that they may end up being that 8 seed, in the Eastern Conference, but I just think they're kind of getting the wins they need to down the stretch. And obviously Crosby's been playing lights out. So I lean Pittsburgh here, but I'm going to split it up. I also side with Alex on the fact that I think they win in regulation. So I'm going to put a little bit on Pittsburgh regulation money line and a little bit of on Pittsburgh team total over 3.5, which is even money. You know, I think this could very likely be a 4-2 type game, you know, push on the total, but Pittsburgh getting that fourth goal, maybe it's an empty net late in the third, but I think Detroit will have some fight. You know, I don't see a guy like Larkin just rolling over and dying. You know, he's going to want to give them a chance, but I just think Pittsburgh's the better team at this point in the season.
All right, good stuff there, indeed. All right, very good. I did want to mention, too, I forgot to mention this with the Devils and the Leafs game earlier. 7 straight first period overs for New Jersey. So I'm actually going to make that an over bifecta in that Devils-Leafs game, not just the full game over. So just want to clarify that. It's going to be over 1.5 and over 6.5 for me with the Devils and the Leafs. Again, 7 straight first period overs for the New Jersey Devils.
Solid plus money look potentially too, with it only being around the $1.35, $1.40.
Yep, Yeah, absolutely. All right, Columbus and Florida. Next up, Florida, huge favorites here, minus 400, minus 410, home favorites, 6.5, the total in this game. You know, by virtue of Boston's loss to Carolina, Florida's win against Ottawa the other night, Florida's actually still not dead yet for the Atlantic Division. Now, it's going to be tough to catch Boston and get that division, but it's still not. They're not mathematically eliminated from being able to win the division, and they still need to worry about Toronto behind them because Toronto plays Florida head-to-head. So if you're Florida, there's reason to win here. There's reason to keep everybody playing, and it looks like other than the injured guys, Ekblad and Verhaeghe, everyone's good to go for Florida. Sergei Bobrovsky is starting in net. We've talked about all the injuries for Columbus. Bean, Boquist, Shinnikov, Fantilli, Jenner, Merzlikins and Tarasov are both out, their top two goalies. And now, you know, someone that's been an offensive dynamo for them since they got him from Pittsburgh, Alex Nylander, lower body injury. He's a game time decision tonight. So now the question is going to be, where do you turn to if you're Columbus in this game as far as an offensive standpoint is concerned? It looks like it'll be Jet Greaves or Malcolm. We haven't got a confirmation in net for Columbus, but it'll be either Jet Greaves or Malcolm Subban. Greaves has been starting most of the games with Tarasov and Merzlikins out. Subban got into the game against Carolina on Sunday. He actually didn't play that bad, Subban, against Carolina, because it could have been a lot worse in that game. We'll see how he fares here. Here's another team. We talked about Jersey with the first period over streakers. Florida is another one all of a sudden. Their last five games entering tonight have all gone over in the first period. So they're 5-0 to the over in the first period. That's what I like here. I like over 1.5 in the first period. I lean full game, but this is one where I like the first period more. What do you think here, Alex? Blue Jackets, Panthers.
Five straight first period overs for Florida. 8-1 the last nine meetings. Florida has absolutely dominated this series as well. So give me Florida and the Columbus first period over 1.5, -$1.40. That's a great price. I love that play.
There, loves it. Blue Jackets and Panthers over 1.5 in the first period. Yeah, 8-1 run in the series. And yeah, 5-0 to the over for Florida in the first period in their last five games. And by the way, if you're looking at head-to-head, that's why I still think, to be honest, the full game over might still be a solid way to go too. 8-1-1 to the over in the last 10 meetings. That's the full game over. And the scores 5-2, 5-4, 7-0. You had one game that stayed under at 4-0, and then the others were 5-3, 6-3, 8-4, 9-2. I mean, you've just had crazy, crazy high scores, high-scoring games with Columbus and Florida. What do you think here, Matt? Blue Jackets, Panthers.
Yeah, it's an over-bifecta game for me. Obviously, heavily lean Florida, but not laying $400 on it to win 100. So even the team total over at 4.5, I like that. Because, again, if we're going to get to that seven-goal mark, I would think that Florida would have at least five, and it is plus 140. So I may sprinkle on that as well, just because I feel like this is a big game for Florida. And as you mentioned, unlike the Tampa game, you know, Florida can still move, you know, in the standings. I think they know that Toronto can catch them. They know Toronto has a very winnable game against New Jersey tonight. So I think Florida knows they have to win this, and they don't want to leave it to chance. So I love the first period over because I think Florida gets at least two goals in the first period. If you know, Columbus chips in with a goal, great. You know, we're closer to that game over. So I like a lot of goals here. So we'll see.
Yeah, you know what I'm going to do too. I'm going to take a small shot too as well, and adding the Panthers team total over 1.5 in the first period at a nice, you know, +200. Price there that you can find with that at a couple books. And again, this is what I cashed with Carolina against Columbus on Sunday, and they jumped two goals in the first period. And that's why in the over 1.5, there's no both teams to score for me, because I could definitely see a scenario where it's 2-0 Florida after the first period in this game tonight. So we'll add a little Panthers first period team total to the mix as well. All right, Montreal Canadiens, New York. Oh, by the way, Voronkov's the one guy I may take a shot at with props for Columbus, because he's centering the top line tonight with all the injuries. He's moving up, Dmitry Voronkov for the Columbus Blue Jackets. And then for Florida, I mean, and for them, Tarasenko is, with Barkov and Reinhardt might be worth a look. He's a pest. He gets under your skin, but tell you what, Nick Cousins two goals and 3 points in the last three games, and he's playing on the second line now for Florida. So Nick Cousins, believe it or not, making it happen offensively, actually playing hockey instead of causing shenanigans. So there you go for him. And Sam Bennett starting to heat up too for Florida, maybe looking that direction too. All right, Canadiens, Islanders. Islanders minus 220, home favorite, six the total here in this one. Gosh, it would be so Islanders to beat the Rangers, huge win, and come back and shit the bed. I wouldn't put it past them. I'm not laying minus 220 with them. I know that. Can Montreal take advantage is the question. Montreal, very impressive performance the other night against Philly, but a lot of that was a wretched, wretched Philadelphia Flyers team playing that poorly. But I just know one thing. Just when you start to get excited about the Islanders, sometimes they pull the rug out from under you, and they'll just all of a sudden lose a game they shouldn't. I still think of that New Jersey game weeks ago. You know, they had that. Remember they had that huge win against Winnipeg? Very good Jets team. Took the Jets apart on a Saturday afternoon. And then they played Sunday against the Devils, and they got shut out by Kokkonen. I'll never forget that. I'll never forgive them for that, too, because I actually took the Islanders that day. And I was so angry. I was so livid. I'm like, I let this team, off of one good game, you know, con me into thinking that they were going to go on some kind of consistent run. And they didn't. And that's why I want zero part of minus 220 tonight with the New York Islanders. Zero part. And the one thing about Marty St. Louis' group, the effort's been there every night, win or lose. You know, this team's playing hard and finishing off the string with effort and a want to on a nightly basis. So this is one where I'm going to sprinkle on the draw, Canadiens and the Islanders here. I think the Canadiens give the Islanders a game. This for the Islanders is off the huge win against the Rangers and another game coming up Saturday with the Rangers at Madison Square Garden. I think Montreal makes this a tough 2 points to get for the New York Islanders tonight. Give me the draw here in this one. We're back to the Thailand, to Draw Island. We're back on the Thailander Express tonight here with the Canadiens and the Islanders. Alex, what do you think here? Montreal, New York Islanders.
Yeah, I'm just looking at that price because this was going to be a pass for me. But at 390, yeah, that's worth taking a stab at. So I'll be on the draw there as well. But that's the only thing I like. Other than this, it would have been a complete pass of a game. Like I said, Islanders are one of those hard teams to trust. Certainly you can't trust them laying this big of a price. And said the Habs hang around and play tough and make it close. So if you wanted to go a little deeper, maybe try to get a two correct score. I looked at that more than 3-3 or 4-4. I don't see goals galore here. So that's something to just maybe sprinkle extra, but definitely in the draw at plus 390.
Yeah, I think it's a solid look. And again, the Islanders do not give a damn if the Canadiens get a point here, of course. And every point now, because the Islanders are, of all the teams battling their asses off to make it in the Eastern Conference in the playoffs, the Islanders are in one of the better situations right now. Even just 1 point tonight, it's worth its weight in gold. Even just getting 1 point tonight, even if you lose an overtime or a shootout. So that is why the onus is going to be, if you're the Islanders and you're in a 2-2 or 3-3 game late in the third, they're not going to fuck up that point that they've got in the bank with, you know, taking too many risks late in regulation in the third period. So every point is valuable. So I think the draw is very live tonight in this game. This is one, too, where I hate to be repetitive, and you know I love my overs, but this is just one of those nights, guys, where it's just the stars are aligning for liking a lot of overs tonight. Look at the series history. Four straight overs, 4-3, 4-2, 5-3, 4-3, the four straight head-to-head meetings. Canadiens have gone over in four of their last five games as well. So over for the total for me as well, if I'm betting that. What do you think here in this one, Matt? Montreal, New York Islanders.
Yeah, so I don't really like the draw on this one. I'm going against you guys just because in their last 10 games, they've only had one game that wasn't even a puck line game, whether it's win or lose. They've had a lot of, you know, 9-3, 5-3, 7-4, 5-2 type of games. And I do think they're playing strong. I mean, they have a nice win this month against a Florida team, you know, that obviously was struggling there for a week.
We offered you a ticket to Draw Island, Matt, and you're turning us down. That's not right.
Yeah, no draw. Yeah. I think it's going to be a pass game for me. I see why, you know, it could be a draw game, but I think it's either a game that the Islanders win pretty easily or Montreal upsets the Islanders and, you know, puts them in an even tougher spot down the stretch with these last couple games. I know every point matters for the Islanders, but I think that kind of motivates a team like Montreal to, you know, ruin another team's season because they're so far down out of the standings. So, yeah, I mean, their last OT game was 10 games ago or 11 games ago against Edmonton. So I'm gonna stay off the draw, but I'm just gonna pass on this game.
All right, nothing wrong with that. Big card, okay to pass. All right, as far as props go, yeah, go ahead, Alex.
Just say Nick Ovento was right on there with something I was gonna mention. The Grand Salami. People always ask me about this. You bet the Grand Salami? Do you bet the Grand Salami? Maybe tonight's one of those nights to look at 62.5. We see a lot of these higher scoring affairs, and on a night like this, I may go over that total.
Yeah, think about the way the card sets up. You've got the Flyers who can't keep the puck out of their net right now against a high-scoring Rangers team who have Jonathan Quick in net, so Flyers might be able to chip in more than normal. Matt Tompkins is in net for Tampa, and they can probably score against Ottawa, but probably the door opens for Ottawa to score a bit more now with Tompkins in net. Washington-Buffalo has been an over-series history. New Jersey-Toronto has been an over-series history. Detroit-Pittsburgh is actually the one game that could be a little bit low-scoring based on the stakes. Columbus, Florida, we just talked about that. All the overs we've seen first period and full game with Jackets and Panthers. So that Grand Salami over might be in play tonight here on this Thursday card. There's no doubt. Yes, Slepkovsky, Suzuki, Caulfield, Armia, Newhook. Those five guys, you cycle through those five guys for Montreal props, you're doing okay. And Slepkovsky, I know coming off a hat trick, I'm always a little leery sometimes when a player has a hat trick and it's not always easy to play that well again the next game, but he's on red hot. You got to still look maybe at Slepkovsky here tonight. I would say Palmieri, Horvat for the Islanders. They have been carrying it for the New York Islanders of late offensively. And yes, Jet Greaves confirmed now in net, by the way, for the Columbus Blue Jackets. All right. It's Matt's favorite time, Winnipeg and Dallas. The Stars minus 180, home favorites, six the total here in this game tonight. There's actually been a big move to Dallas. This opened at minus 145 to minus 150. It's all the way up to minus 180. The betting markets and the public, they just do not like and they do not respect Laurent Brossoit. And I don't get it. You know, he's a very capable, serviceable backup goalie. There's even been times this year he's played a little better than Hellebuck. When Hellebuck was struggling there a few weeks ago, Brossoit was playing better than him. He had a couple of shutouts, too. I mean, we're acting like Brossoit is fucking Aaron Dell right now in net. At this point in time. And that's not the case. He's a capable backup goalie here for the Winnipeg Jets. And he's going to get the start here tonight in this game. For Winnipeg, look, because they keep winning and the win against Nashville. Now, they would have really been on Colorado's ass if Minnesota had beaten Colorado, but that didn't happen. But they're still there, you know, with a chance to maybe catch up Colorado for that all-important second place in the division and home ice in the first round. So there is incentive for Winnipeg here. Dallas, meanwhile, and look, we're going to defer to our Dallas Stars resident fan and expert here, Matt Robinson, who was telling me yesterday that he heard Peter DeBoer on the ticket, Dallas Sports Radio station, saying they're not letting up here down the stretch. They're trying to get this division title won. They're trying to play good hockey, get their confidence and their minds where it needs to be for this playoff run. They want to go in hot into the Stanley Cup playoffs. So it doesn't seem like Dallas is taking their foot off the game. And they haven't clinched shit yet. They still haven't clinched the division. So I don't think they're laying down tonight. I think they're going to bring it too. So really, I don't want much to do with a side here. I think it's going to be a good game to watch, though. No question about that. This is another one where I could make a case for the draw for sure in this game, Jets and Stars. I mean, we almost got a draw with Buffalo and Dallas the other night. Winnipeg and Nashville did cash the draw, and it went to overtime. So the draw is where I'm at but in this game tonight. Alex, what do you think here? Jets, Stars. Oh, you're muted.
Yeah, plus 350. I like the draw here as well. This is definitely a spot. I know Dallas, they need a regulation win to officially clinch the Central Division. But like I said, Winnipeg hanging on tough. They got their own battle. This is definitely one of those games where I feel like if it's close, tight, late, no team's going to really break out and make a chance. They're going to just take this one right in overtime and settle it from there.
Yeah, no doubt. And I want to point out, too, with the Jets, if the Jets win tonight, it all of a sudden puts a huge spotlight on Winnipeg at Colorado Saturday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern time. That suddenly becomes a huge game to determine second place in the Central and, more importantly, home ice advantage in that first-round series.
And not only that, it could also determine if Dallas doesn't win. If Dallas loses out, the winner of that game, and they have to win out, they would win the Central Division. So there's a that's the other swing in that too. So a Winnipeg win would be massive and would change the whole dynamic of that the game with Colorado.
Yeah, as those evil thoughts that Alex is planting in Matt Robinson's mind right now upon saying that. What do you think here in this one, Matt? Your Stars here against the Winnipeg Jets.
Well, just to correct you, Alex, if Dallas wins, it's clinched. They'd have 111 points, and neither team could get to that with the last three games. So
well, regulation win would do it then. Or a shootout win, or a overtime, or a shootout win tonight for Dallas would
play. Yeah, yeah. Any kind of win. Okay. Any win. It doesn't have to be regulation. So Dallas could win. Like, for the draw purpose, Dallas could win in overtime, and they've clinched.
I like the draw.
Yeah. I was telling Ian, obviously, about DeBoer talking on the ticket. You know, before hearing that, I was definitely not going to bet Winnipeg. I'm not going to step in front of a 9-1 Dallas team in the last 10. But I was leaning towards Winnipeg because I kind of figured they'd, you know, maybe give some guys some shifts off. But he sort of like made a joke like, oh, what do they call it in the NBA? Ha ha, load management. Yeah, we don't do that here. Like he wants to win. He wants to keep giving them a chance for that President's Trophy. At the very least, lock up the Western Conference home ice through the Western Conference Finals. So I lean Dallas, but obviously, I have a little bias there. What I will say is this is not a game I'm going to be lighting up the props. Like, I don't think Dallas is going to run away with anything. I think this will be a really good game. I was surprised to see Hellebuck not get the start. I know he had a huge workload on Tuesday night. I think he had 45 saves. So I get it.
Keep it fresh for Colorado is, I think, what Rick Bonus is thinking. Yep.
This is game three of a four-game road trip for Winnipeg. I know they need the points. But it's sort of one of those spots that I think similar to, Dallas and Chicago before that Colorado game. I know it's not a back-to-back, but I feel like Winnipeg might be overlooking this game and more focused, you know, hey, if they get one of these two, they want that Colorado game because it's a four-point swing. So I don't know. I'll jump on Dallas money line in regulation just as a hopeful Stars fan. But I wouldn't say to ride that with me. I am on the first period over. That's a bet I do like here, especially with Hellebuck not playing. I agree that Brossois, or however you pronounce his name.
That's right, Brossois. You got it.
Yeah, well, he's had some great games. But I think Dallas is going to come out hot. And I'm never opposed to saying that the other team's going to score in the first period on the Stars. They love giving up that first period goal. But I think they also try and pocket one in the first. So I love the first period over here. That's a true guy bet. And then my bias, hoping that they clinch, I'll be on Dallas money line and Dallas regulation, and maybe a sprinkle on Dallas team total, which I know didn't hit on Tuesday night. So maybe they get a couple more lines rolling tonight and get over that 3.5, because I think it was pretty good odds when I looked. So may jump on that. But yeah, definitely not a night where there's 15 Stars props that I'm taking. I think this will be a good game. I'm excited to watch this game, and I could see it kind of going either way. So hopefully Dallas gets clinches the Central tonight, but you know, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Winnipeg wins in regulation and then, you know, clear my calendar on Saturday. I'll be watching that Colorado Winnipeg game because that'll be an exciting one. So
it will be. There's no doubt. As far as props go, Ben Wyatt Johnston, why not? Those are the two that just we keep rocking with both of them. The captain, Jamie, Ben Wyatt Johnston for Dallas. And for Winnipeg, Gabe Vilardi. He just keeps on clicking right now. He's getting it going again for the Winnipeg Jets. Definitely, I think he is someone to keep riding right now with the player props on their side. And that's really good news come playoff time for the Jets. They need Gabe Vilardi's offense, and they need that production from him, and he's starting to deliver it. Once again, right now for the Winnipeg Jets, right at the perfect time of year. I do want to mention, if you like overs in this game, I would target more a first period and or second period over, and be careful of the full game. Dallas is 7-2 to the under in their last 9 games, believe it or not. Full game unders, 7-2, the last 9 Dallas Stars games, and 3, I believe, straight head-to-head meetings with Winnipeg and Dallas have gone under for the full game as well. So that's why I think Matt's right. If you're more so a first period, if anything, if you're going to look in that direction for goals tonight between the Jets and the Stars. All right, next up, we've got Playing for Exercise, San Jose Sharks, Seattle Kraken. We've got Seattle minus 250 home favorites. The total here, 5.5. These kind of games are always dog or pass. So by default, it's San Jose or nothing. But for me, it's going to be nothing. I mean, I don't want to take anything here, really, between these two teams. Certainly not minus 250 with Seattle. No way, no how. So by default, I lean San Jose, but not going to bet it. There's other stuff that I like more on this card. I'll sprinkle a little on the over 5.5 because you're talking about two teams, you know, roll the puck out, playing for exercise. Nothing more than that. What do you think here, Alex? San Jose, Seattle.
Yeah, Devin Cooley confirmed the net for San Jose. So give me first period over 1.5 minus $1.15. Playing that small, and then also playing small to over 5.5 minus $1.15.
Yep. There are some decent props. Shane Wright's one of them, no doubt, Cuban. Have to. Shane Wright's been awesome. You got to look in his direction right now. He's making a case to be a full-time NHL player next year coming out of camp with Seattle. I think he's finally showing the offensive upside we thought. We know he can be a good, sturdy defensive player as well. And clearly the work that has been done with him down at Coachella Valley this season has helped him out because he definitely looks like a different and a better player now than he did earlier with the Seattle Kraken. And you're right, Zetterlund, Eklund, they are all feeling it right now for the San Jose Sharks, who have actually shown some offensive capabilities of late. So I don't hate those props either. And yes, for Seattle, they're still without, it looks like, for this game tonight, Jared McCann. Well, actually, they're game time decisions. They might actually, one or both may return, Dunn and McCann. So keep your eye on that. Joey Decord confirmed for Seattle. And as Alex mentioned, Devin Cooley in net for San Jose, who is coming off that tremendous win the last time out he had against St. Louis, his first NHL victory. Doesn't mean he's going to get a second in a row tonight. So I'd be careful. This is still a guy that's been, his numbers down in the AHL were pedestrian. Let's just put it that way. What do you think here, Matt? San Jose, Seattle.
Yeah, this is going to be an over bifecta game for me as well. Obviously, the 5.5 play. I love the 5.5 play on two teams that are out of it. You know, again, they're playing for exercise, but some of these guys, especially specific to San Jose, are going to be playing for contracts next year. They don't want to go back to the minors, even though they basically played on an AHL team most of this year, just with an AHL schedule. And then, you know, if you can find a goal prop for that Graf kid, I think he's been playing well for San Jose. He's still looking to pocket his first one. I think that's a decent look. But, yeah, no sides here for me. I almost lean San Jose if Cooley wasn't playing, but he got that first one under his belt. So I think they go on a little skid and lose out the rest of the year. I have a buddy that is a huge Sharks fan, and he predicted – like he sent me the text the other day. He predicted that they would finish the year at 18 wins, which is what they're currently at. For his exact record, he needs 3 overtime losses. But, you know, obviously that's a long shot. But the fact that he guessed 18 wins and that's what it's looking like they're going to end at is pretty wild. But, yeah, I think, you know, San Jose, yeah, they want to score a goal here and there. So I like the over. But I think they're just hoping to give themselves the best chance for Celebrini. Don't know if it's going to happen. We'll see during the lottery. But yeah, I think they're going to keep grinding to get that last spot.
That's impressive with that exact record. I almost hit a bet with that a couple years ago with Arizona. I had 24.5 because I had them at 25. And yeah, ended up getting 26 victories, and I think I was one win and one overtime loss off from a perfect record. So that's good shot.
Yeah. There we go. Good stuff indeed. All right, final game of this Thursday NHL slate: Calgary Flames, Los Angeles Kings. LA minus 190 home favorite, 6 the total in this game. Remember early in the season, LA got off to this great road start. The road record was phenomenal, and the home record stunk. This month or the last 30 days, it's kind of flipped. LA kind of sucks on the road lately, but at home they've been very good. You know, that's the way it's been here down the stretch. You look at LA on the road, since beating Vancouver on March 25th, they lose at Edmonton, they lose at Calgary, they lose at Winnipeg, they barely beat San Jose, a very unimpressive win, and then they lost in Anaheim the other night, 3-1. But at home, they beat Vancouver 6-3, Seattle 5-2, they beat Tampa Bay in overtime, 4-3. They smoked Minnesota 6-0 at home. So this team all of a sudden like had a reverse home road dichotomy. Early in the season, they great on the road, sucked at home. Now they're great at home, and they kind of stink on the road. So it's kind of went in the reverse. I think it's an LA spot here for me tonight. I know that people are going to be worried about LA a little bit, this price range, and Calgary off a win. But let's be real. Calgary beat San Jose. Kind of Dustin Wolf had the family and friends. Alex brought that to attention of everybody on the last show. Nice win there for Calgary. Doesn't mean they're going to win again. And LA lost one against Calgary that I know they weren't happy about in Calgary at the Saddle Dome recently. I think they get him back tonight, and I think they need this one. It's time to stop dicking around and screwing around if you're LA. You got to, you know, get this job done, get your playoff spot clinched here, get your positioning solidified for the postseason, and stop messing around. I think you get a good effort. I'm reading good bet on quotes from Doughty, from Kopitar, Kempe, a lot of the key players saying, you know, this is the time, this is where we got to ramp up our game to another level, and they weren't happy. They were very, very upset with the Anaheim third period the other night, so I think LA steps up tonight, gets the job done. I like them in the first period puck line, -0.5, +152. And I'm going to split it with the Kings in regulation here tonight. No draw for me here. Kings in regulation, split it with that here at -114 at Pinnacle. Alex, what do you think here? Flames, Kings.
Yeah, it's another first period over that I like. You can get it as cheap as $1.13 over at FanDuel. 12-3 the last 15 meetings to go over in the first period between the Flames and Kings. It's a Markstrom start, Talbot start, Talbot against his old club. I think we see some goals here early in the spot. Kings should be able to run away with it, but I think we at least get two in the first 20 minutes. So that's what I'm rolling with, first period over.
All right, first period over here for Alex with the Flames and the Kings. And yes, Cam Talbot confirmed. We're assuming Jacob Markstrom. Pretty sure it's going to be Jacob Markstrom, but it has not been confirmed. And another thing, too, I pointed out LA's been better at home lately. As far as series history goes, Calgary wins in Calgary when these teams play. LA wins in LA when these teams play. The home team, 6-0 in the last six head-to-head meetings here with the Flames and the Kings. Matt, what do you think here, Calgary, LA?
Yeah, I'm all over LA in this spot. Obviously, they can clinch a playoff spot tonight. So I'm on LA regulation. I'm on LA team total over 3.5. And then I'm going to jump on the first period over, just given series history. But yeah, I think this is a spot LA finally gets the X next to their name on the standings.
All right, there we go. Various forms of Los Angeles for Matt here as well in this game tonight. For props with LA, yes, Kempe Kopitar goes without saying they've been good. Obviously, he's been down on the fourth line, and sometimes that's risky, you know, as far as props go. But who am I to argue with Akil Thomas, who's been absolutely terrific in his very short tour of duty here so far with the LA Kings? He's played in three games, and he's scored in two of them. Scored against San Jose, scored against Anaheim the other night, and actually got their only goal the other night against Anaheim. +650 for Akil Thomas at points bet. You gotta sprinkle something on that. I know he's on the fourth line, but he's got two goals in the last three games, and he's making it happen right now for this LA team. So yeah, no argument there. And I mentioned Kopitar, Kempe, you know, always worth a look as far as props go. I would say if you're going to focus on two players right now for Calgary, Sharon Govich and Kuzmenko continues to be one of their hotter offensive players at the moment right now. And he's been bumped up to the top line. He's on a really strong point streak as well. Seven straight games with a point for Kuzmenko and five goals during that span. And he's had, I think, six of the seven have been multi-point games. So maybe a Kuzmenko over 1.5 points. I mean, six of the last seven games for Calgary, Kuzmenko's had 2 points. So that over 1.5 points might be worth a look here for Kuzmenko, given his recent form. All right, great stuff. We are usually, this is the time of the show where we promote, and then we run the Boston Hemp Inc. ads, and we do bargain bin special of the night and best bets. But we're not going to leave you hanging with the Frozen Four. We'll give you a couple minutes here with these two games, Denver and Boston, the first of the two semifinals in the Frozen Four. We've got Boston U, the Terriers here, about -160 home favorites right now in this game. The total 6.5 across the board. Look, I said this on Twitter. These are the top four teams in the country in goals per game. They are loaded with firepower, all four teams. Denver's got multiple game breakers. Boston U has the best player in college hockey right now, and Macklin Celebrini, of course, the number one overall pick. They've got Lane Hudson, who's a tremendous defenseman and especially offensive-minded defenseman from the back end. Game breakers galore. I do like the over. I like Boston, but I don't love the price. To me, these two games, I don't want to step in front of the Boston teams. And this is not to disparage Denver and not to disparage Michigan. These are two very good programs. And if either one pulls an upset, I am not totally shocked because they are very good teams themselves. But to me, Boston and BC have been the best teams in college hockey all season, start to finish. They have the most firepower, the most depth of any teams in college hockey. So I think it is a Boston-BC national championship game. But I'm going to do Boston and over 4.5. That's a same game parlay. Boston to win and over 4.5, -125 in this game. Very solid price there with that. I think that's really a good way to approach this, along with that solo over 6.5 that I've got in this one. Alex, are you doing anything with the Frozen Four in this game specifically?
Nothing individually in the game. I have Boston +250 to win the tournament. I had that going back before the tournament started. So that's the only thing I'm kind of rolling with. If I had to take a shot on either game as far as, like I said, with the dogs, because I think it's BU and BC in the final as well, I would lean more toward Michigan. I think Michigan can give BC a tougher fight than Denver does with Boston, the BU.
Yeah, very interesting. I actually think Denver's the scarier dog, in my opinion. But Michigan, you can't count Michigan out with Brindley. With the way he's playing, your guy from the Blackhawks, Frank Nazer, I mean, he's been absolutely outstanding in this tournament. The goalie, Barzowski's actually really picked up his game. It's just when you've got, of course, with Boston College, and we'll get to this game too next, and the total 7 in that game, because you talk about firepower, and my goodness, Boston College has it in droves as far as what they can throw at you offensively with Will Smith and Ryan Leonard, Gabe Perreault. And Cutter Gauthier. I mean, they are just ridiculously stacked offensively, the Boston College Eagles. But Michigan plays a really good team game. They've gotten elevated performances, like I said, from Gavin Brindley, among others here in the NCAA tournament so far. This definitely should be a goal fest, too. I took over 6.5 and laid the juice. But the bet that I really like, and then I'll throw it to Matt for his thoughts on these Frozen Four semifinals, and I posted it already. Give me a two-game parlay of the over 5.5 in both games at -115 or so. -115, -120. You get it down to 5.5, which is a very key number. 4-2 is going to cash in both games. You can parlay the over 5.5 in both semifinals at -115. I think that's tremendous. That would be my best bet, honestly, if I had to give one for the Frozen Four. What do you think here, Matt, Frozen Four?
Yeah, so from the beginning of the tournament, I quoted a tweet and said, man, this is going to end up being BUBC. This is going to be one of those years, isn't it? So I still like both those teams. I sort of lean with Alex that I think Michigan is the more likely dog to win. They've just got a veteran group. Their goalies played well the last couple games. I think they've got a chance, but I still think it ends up being BUBC. I actually tailed your best parlay, but took it a step further, and I did over 5.5 in both games and both Boston teams to win. So it's a four-leg parlay instead of a two. So that'll be like my big play. Again, lean Boston in both games. Don't really like the sides. I may even throw a sprinkle on Michigan just if my doubts come true. But yeah, and then overwise, I like the overs even up to like 6, maybe 6.5 in this Michigan BC game. But once you start getting into 7,
yeah, it's pretty high.
You know, it's pretty tough for me because just given these teams, the first 10 minutes, I'd be shocked if there's a lot of goals in either game. You know, both teams are getting their feet wet at XL, you know, big crowds, like not that these guys don't play in those situations pretty regularly, but they just know what's at stake. So no one's going to want to make a mistake. It'll be that easy pass and not trying to be too cute. So, yeah. And I don't think really any books have live college games, or I know there's some that are out there, but they're tough to find. But yeah, if you do have that option and it is, you know, a low and slow start, then hammer the over. Cause I think things will open up once there is a goal. or two in these games.
Yeah, we have seen a few of the games, a lot of the games in the tournament go like that, where it has been slow early, and then things start to pick up as far as the scoring goes. So I think if you're targeting unders at all in these two games, I think first period might be safer than full game. For sure, that maybe we get that slow start. And that's exactly why, you know, I've got small sprinkles on the individual totals of 6.5 and 7 in these two games. But what I really like and what I put more on was that over 5.5 parlay, because I like getting both of these games below that key number of 6. And I think both can at least get to 6 here in this. And I'm looking forward to it. ESPN2 has both games. Chicken Parm and Colby Cohen calling the action as well. So looking forward to that coming up. And I'll be focused just as much on that, you know, quite honestly, as the NHL stuff tonight. And so looking forward.
A ton of traffic already in the area because they are here right downtown St. Paul, the XL Energy Center.
Yeah, no doubt. Just in Alex's backyard there. St. Paul, XL Energy Center, home of the Frozen Four this year. All right, great stuff. Great show. Hit the like button. Reminder, BetCasts. We've got many more BetCasts coming. 4 more still on the way here in the month of April. We'll put the schedule up on the screen. Yep. There it is. Tuesday, April 16th. Patreon only next Tuesday. Our final BetCast of the regular season. And then it's playoff time, baby. 3 playoff BetCasts late April, Monday, April 22nd, free for all. Thursday, April 25th, Patreon exclusive. And Tuesday, April 30th, Patreon exclusive. So again, to make sure you are included and are able to join us and watch the Patreon exclusive live BetCasts, make sure you sign up. Patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. Now's the time, guys. Sign up. Playoffs right around the corner. You'll get our daily sides, totals, and player props posted on the page. Goalie charts, totals charts, more bonus content, and again, the access to the Patreon exclusive live BetCast. Sign up now. Patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. And make sure you check out the gear and the merch at the Ice Guys store, iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
5 days free standard shipping starts today. You can get that right now. Go to iceguys.myspreadshop.com. Click on the redeem button at the top of the page. Shop away and get everything sent to you. And it's quick. The standard shipping usually takes about 4 to 5 days. I was talking to my buddy Sammy P. He got a hoodie and he got to him pretty quick. So take advantage of that. 5 days free standard shipping at iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
All right, we got Best Bets and Bargain Bin Special of the Night coming up right after we hear from our great sponsors, Boston Hemp Inc. Boston Hemp Inc., check them out. 20% off all orders on the website using the promo code ICEGUYS at BostonHempInc.com. All right, bargain bin special of the night. Lots to choose from on the 10-game slate. Alex, bargain bin special, what do you like?
So we're going to that New Jersey-Toronto game. You have to shop around and find this in a couple books. Some books won't have this option available, but I'm looking at Max Domi to get 2 or more points. I got +396 over at BetOnline with that play. Like I said, he's been the guy facilitating and looking to set up Austin Matthews. But obviously, if something is landing on his stick and he has a chance to bury it, he can get a chance to get a goal there as well. So just going to go with him to get 2 points or more, +396. That's my bargain bin special, Max Domi, the Toronto Maple Leafs.
All right, there it is, Max Domi, over 1.5 points, almost +400 with that for Alex B. Smith with his bargain bin special of the night. Matt, what do you got for bargain bin special?
Yeah, I threw in the chat, only one of my picks of these final two is Dallas Stars related, and it's going to be my bargain bin. He's got over 2 points in four of his last seven. He hasn't gone two games in a row without 2 points, and he only had one on Tuesday night against Buffalo. Give me Wyatt Johnson, the old faithful, over 1.5 points. I'm seeing it plus 325, plus 350. Again, I don't think tonight's game will be a big lopsided game or that a game that Dallas scores 8 goals or anything, but he's chipping in on the power play. He's playing with Ben, who's been playing lights out. So give me Wyatt Johnson over 1.5 points tonight.
All right, Wyatt Johnston over 1.5 points. Dallas Stars for Matt Robinson with his bargain bin special. Mine came down to Austin Matthews over 1.5 goals, which I almost used, but I didn't. I almost went with Akil Thomas, L.A., plus 650, but I didn't. The price isn't as good on this one, but, man, he's heating up. It's a game where I don't think defense is going to be emphasized. Shane Wright, Seattle Kraken, plus 320 at Betano, the score bet, Pinnacle, plus 310 at DraftKings. It does make the mark bargain bin worthy. Shane Wright for Seattle, plus 320 for my bargain bin special of the night. All right, best bets. Alex, what do you like for best bet?
Yeah, looking at that Florida-Columbus games. Florida, 5 straight games of the first period over. Last nine meetings with Columbus and Florida, 8-1 to the first period over. We are taking a shot there with that first period over. You can find the cheapest price available, minus 138 at FanDuel. So anything minus 145 or below, play that pregame and maybe look to sprinkle a little bit extra on it once it starts in-game. But we're going with Florida and Columbus. First period over 1.5. That's our best bet for Thursday.
All right, there it is. Columbus, Florida, over 1.5. First period, minus 140 for Alex B. Smith with his best bet. Matt, not a Dallas game best bet. What do you got?
Yeah, so it's one of the later games we talked about. I feel pretty confident in how it's going to turn out. So my best bet of tonight at the old Crypto Arena, formerly the Staples Center, give me the LA Kings money line in regulation. I think the Kings take care of business tonight. I think they get it done against Calgary. And I think they get that, they clinch that last playoff spot not the last playoff spot because Vegas technically could blow it.
They clinch a playoff spot. Yeah.
They clinch a playoff spot and get themselves back in the playoffs. I think it happens tonight. I love Doughty to get a point, you know, things like that. So give me LA money line in regulation. Don't think it's going to overtime.
All right, there it is. LA in regulation for Matt Robinson against Calgary for his best bet. You guys know what mine is already. I said it early in the show because our man from Greece, and again, Kalispera, good evening to him, wanted a bet before the sportsbook closed there apparently. So I gave him it. What my best bet was, Flyers-Rangers over 6 minus 120. The Flyers' defense and goaltending has just crumbled. The Rangers should be able to score in bunches tonight, but I think the Flyers can chip in. Look, their season's on the line. It's you know, you can't totally quit, even though you stink right now. And with Jonathan Quick in net, the door should be open for the Flyers to be able to contribute as well. So Flyers-Rangers over 6, minus 120 for my best bet for this Thursday NHL card. That'll wrap up this edition of the Ice Guys. Thanks to everyone for joining us. Hit the like button on the way out. We appreciate it very much. A reminder, the Ice Guys is live 7 days a week, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. If you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and more. Download the Ice Guys podcast when you can't watch the show live. For Alex B. Smith and Matt Robinson, I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Thursday night. Enjoy the games and good luck. We will be back with you tomorrow for a Beantown Friday edition of the Ice Guys.